Great, thank you all. This conference has a lot of information about systems that work where there's electricity, where there's internet connectivity. And what I'd like to do is sort of step back and talk about places that don't have those things and how do we address health informatics in that context. So how do we get systems that that show the performance, like the picture on the right here, when the environment looks like on the left? How do we get data where we're collecting it in the field to centralized systems where we can analyze it and make use of it? So healthcare needs are very fundamental, and they're going unmet in a lot of places. Diseases that are easily preventable are killing children in the developing world. And these health systems that are there are overloaded with need. Just a couple of stats here. I mean, 80% of the population in India still lives in rural areas. I'm sure that for many of you, these are familiar situations. Because these communities are so remote, they're the last to receive the resources for a basic medical supply chain. They're the last to receive refrigerators, management oversight, and attention. They're the places where people think, well, if we could just apply a little bit of technology to this situation, we can solve the issue. But let's think for a second about what that technology is trying to do. The technology needs to try to help that woman who's walking 5 miles or 10 miles to go get her child vaccinated, and then the field workers isn't there because they've gone to go get the supplies from a district health center from the province. Too often the answer is we don't find a way to make those health systems actually support that health worker. So putting the health worker at the center is a very important principle. Just in a short time, Village Reach has been in existence, 7 years. The world has begun to heavily invest in new products such as vaccines that are to address the disease burden. Governments and organizations have spent trillions of dollars, that's with a T, developing new products. These new opportunities, however, bring challenges. We've got an innovation pileup problem coming at us. For example, one new vaccine called the rotavirus prevents a stomach bacterium that kills thousands of children. This vaccine costs $5 and is the size of my fist. The HPC cervical cancer vaccine is expected to be priced between $50 and $100 per dose in developing countries. The malaria and HIV vaccines, which we hope are coming soon, are likely to also be very expensive. Current distribution systems are overwhelmed now. They're going to be swamped. So unless we go about improving the ability of developing countries to handle these new products, trillions of dollars in investment will be wasted. And more importantly, children in these countries will once again be passed by. We can get excited about these new products, these new vaccines, but we also can't forget that the job isn't done, the mission isn't accomplished until the drops are in mouths and the vaccines are in arms and in butts. So let's talk about what information isn't there. Well, there is a lack of data. Data that we tend to have tends to be survey data. It tends to be data about the outcomes. It tends to be taken as a snapshot. It's done every so often. And so what you get when you try to do analysis on that data is a patchwork. You have to run statistics in order to try to glean what's going on. And we also miss these kinds of questions. The questions about the performance of the system, the questions about the cold chain, the questions about the supply chain. This is what's missing in a lot of places. What's the capacity of that refrigeration cold chain for pushing out new vaccines? What's the capacity of those health centers for doing new vaccines? So in this context, Village Reach, in collaboration with PATH, which I think many people are familiar with, and USAID Health Tech. We looked at our experience in Mozambique in developing a last mile system and tried to get some lessons learned from that experience. With my co-authors Sophie Newland and David Lubinsky at PATH and my colleague Leah Barrett at Village Reach, we had two information technologists and two health domain experts. So we're really looking at this from both perspectives. And what we came to were three things. But one is process improvement is key. We need to really think about how you map out the business processes so you can apply the information systems to the right kinds of processes. And when we talk about software development, we need to not go from, you know, a cascade waterfall development cycle. We need to do agile. We need to do Scrum. We need to do fast development. And the world of software development has moved on from that world to the world of agile development. And we need to engage the stakeholders with visualizations of that data in order to show that there's value in the data that they're providing. And that when you go to the global consumers of this data, you need ways to really, truly engage them visually. So first we started with a process mapping in the northernmost province, Mozambique. Actually, this was from Niassa province. The arrows indicate the different ways in which the medical supplies are moving. So up arrows indicate someone's gone to go get something, and down arrows indicate that somebody's gone to deliver. And what we find is that there was something like 100 different modes of transmission of supplies. So from the health center to the district or to the province over motorcycle, bicycle, truck, bus, et cetera, up, down, ad hoc. This isn't a standard delivery system. And it's based on, in many ways, a lack of information of what's going on at the health center. So as opposed to that, Village Reach approaches it like this. Instead of trying to get 261 field workers to get all on the same page in terms of entering data the right way, we have seven in the province that go out. They leave with medical supplies from a pick list, including propane, equipment parts. They have knowledge to do the trainings. They are getting their lists from the data that's collected. They go to the site, they record and the stock of the inventory, they service the equipment, they collect data about the outcomes that have been achieved, and they provide some supportive supervision on improving the processes there. They come back after 2 weeks with the data on paper, and they enter it into the system, and that gets into data validation and gets into a centralized system. So this is what we came up with. We're actually moving beyond this, but I wanted to show you this is what version 2 was about. And this was really a huge improvement. And what we found when we did a cost study, which is available on the website, was that this actually cost less on a per vaccine delivered basis than the existing system. So even if you included the cost of all of these different things, it was more. The key thing here is how do you create that routing? Well, as many technologists in this room would understand, the truck is the network. The truck going around provides the way that we can move vaccines and move data back and forth. So that was version 2. Oops. We tried to map our processes that we're automating against some standard 16 processes that are from the National Public Laboratory Systems in the United States. We looked through each one of these, and so it's good to sort of analyze what your system is doing against a standard. So looking against those 16 processes, what we found is we're automating small pieces of each. But once we have that basic system, we can start to expand and understand which are the gaps in the system that we're developing. I think another speaker is going to talk a lot more about SMS, but just a couple words here. Most people know that the mobile phone is the data platform. We now have over 4 billion mobile phones on the planet. that's going to far exceed, I mean, that far exceeds the PC population. So mobile phones and the ability to send data over that platform is the future. We've developed a prototype that allows us to send the status of the cold chain. So what's going on at that health center in terms of is the refrigerator working? Is it not working? What's the temperature? And we're leveraging just existing technologies to do that. So this is not something we invented. It's simply an application of this. Similarly, we're able to take the data once it's in a centralized database and use standard mapping tools, you know, freely available, open source, Google Maps, and their API, and write data to that so we can get various visualizations out of it. So we have data for 7 years from the field, from health centers, and we can go through and start to really make sense of this in a graphical way. Finally, I want to, second to last slide, I want to sort of look into my crystal ball here and leave you with some concepts of where these information systems could go. So ubiquitous data networks. Data can go anywhere. This is becoming a reality even at the end of the dusty road. You know, we've got SMS, we're moving into GPRS or G3 or G4 in the next few years. But even if you just focus on SMS, it's still a good enough pipe for most of what we need to do. We've got a location-aware devices. 2 years ago, location-aware technology wasn't widely available. It's now being built into, you know, not just the smartphones, but the tier two phones. Lower-cost server technologies. Other speakers here are talking about, you know, cloud computing. That's a possibility now for these public health systems to, instead of managing their own health system servers and technologies, that they outsource all of that, that they focus instead on the service layer. Data input and tracking devices. There's electronic ink devices like the Kindle, which, you know, now allows to have really low cost and thin devices that are coming down in price. We have RFID. We have form factors in the new technologies that are now starting to exceed paper and pencil, which I would submit is still a really good platform. So a couple of things about the principles. The current distribution systems can't handle what we're about to throw at them in terms of vaccines. So the first thing we have to do is think about the system as a whole. Think about we can't just throw technology at a non-system. So we need to build the system first and automate with the location appropriate technology, but they have to go hand in hand. We need to be supporting decision making at all levels. So we need to be not just thinking about this as a data collection issue, right? We need to be thinking about this as a data utility at the last mile. Like, how does the health worker get value out of this? How do we make their job easier? I think we also need to shift away from having everybody doing data entry and moving towards an environment where people who are tasked with data gathering are they're the ones doing that. Instead of a world in which the health worker is tallying and then sending it to somebody else who tallies, then sends it to somebody else who tallies, we have a system that gets down at the very basic level and gathers that information. And we have to focus on performance. What's the cold chain doing? What's the supply chain doing? It's not just about the outcomes. It's about the performance of that system. Our website is www.villagereach.org. I have a couple of copies of the health tech report up here and some handouts out there. Thank you very much.